Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. The other day I was in the water with some Caribbean reef sharks when a female showed up that was right in my face. There was no checking out from the distance, no interzone observation or moving along its inner circle. Nope, she was right in the hot zone. So this female appeared out of nowhere and approached me right from the get-go. What I mean with that is that she swam right up to me, literally. In a frontal approach and then didn't even put in a decent curve, but only uses a small angle that she surpassed way in touching distance, maybe 30 centimeters, 1 foot in between me and her. And did so in a much faster speed than you can expect Caribbean reef sharks normally swim in. There's not just a very rare that occasion that a shark who just appeared at a scene approaches that close, it is super rare. I really had to think hard to remember another shark that did that right from the get-go in the last few years. The unusual part was that this shark showed no hesitation, ignored all the thresholds, and approached very, very goal-oriented. Of course, when you face such a shark, all the alarm bells go off, and you make yourself ready to act. Remember, face guide, push, move? Well, after first contact, this shark made then a very tight loop around me, swam off a few meters, no more than that, and did it again, right away and as close as before. This is the point when you start weighing if you should leave the water or face the shark and see what happens. Well, the second thing noticeable beside her boldness was that she had some new and older scars around her head. We call this type of sharks brawlers. Sure, she was used to fights and obviously must have won them, otherwise I would not have had to deal with it. Where do sharks normally get their wounds from? It's either fighting over food or when having to fend off another larger shark that is after the shark in question. There are some other scars like mating scars or mobbing scars, especially white sharks that have them because some seals mob them. But in this case, of course, it was fighting. So she had fighting wounds and so seemed to be used to battle it out. That would explain that this shark had a rather low or not even existing hesitation threshold anymore. So does this mean she wants to bite me in order to see if she has to fight over me with other sharks? Not really, but she was adamant to push me right away despite that she had no clue what I was. So didn't she want to understand what I could be? Well, I'm sure she did to some extent, but there was also food in the water, and chances were that she tried to just establish a hierarchy, something she did with the other shark that was still present at the and was the first at the site. When she approached the other shark, she pretty much did the same thing to her, straight up to the other one and intercepting the other swim pattern. So in my case, she did not have to intercept me from anything because I did not move, but it was very obvious that she did that to the other shark. So she tried to have her way with the other shark, which in their world would mean establishing dominance. And I guess that it was not much different with me. So I stood my ground and waited to see what happens and where this was going. And within maybe 30 seconds, she came back again with an approach pattern that was on collision course with my position. And at the very last possible moment, she minimally turned away from me so she then could just slip by, way inside my touching distance, way inside her hot zone. And this closeness told me that she's likely not shy of getting hurt. I stood my ground and watched her doing her thing and assumed that she would eventually come down, start to swim lower, slower, and adapt to the other shark's presence. And so ceased to be in the other shark's face and passing me with some more distance. Did that happen? Nope. She kept coming and coming and not once slowed down or put in a bit more distance towards me. At this point, you may ask yourself how dangerous such a situation might be from a scale from 1 to 10. With 1, 0 problem, and 10, where a bite is going to happen. I guess it would have been an 8 or 9, maybe even a 10, since the mental barrier that we recently discussed appeared to be completely gone already. So I started to pivot. I was in a vertical position and kept focusing on the female, this female, and did not let her out of my sight again. After she did another few approaches, I decided it's time to go back to the boat and wait until she comes down so I could continue my data collection. And this was now a situation where you have to do a controlled withdrawing we spoke about way, way back. Yeah, actually, I was just thinking we really should actually go back into controlled withdrawing again. So just, you know, refreshing that a little bit. So in the next few shows, I will go into withdrawing again. First, you only move to the boat or beach when the shark's body orientation is aimed away from you. As soon as the shark turns towards you again, you stop right away, go vertical, and keep the shark in eyesight. Possibly you have to pivot. Keep staring at the shark until it swims away from you again, and then start to move again. You may now ask why I did not do a push move. Well, I considered it, but felt that this is the very, very rare occasion a push move likely won't have the desired effect anymore, and gill touching would be the last resort. So out of the water I went and was then very anxious to see if she would now relax and also get along with the other shark that was still present. So I focused on her tail beats per second and the pattern she swam around the other shark. The tail beats did not slow down. Neither did she ease up on the other shark that had pretty much the same size. She still came across as if she had to control the other shark despite that the other one kept her distance and did not even take the offered food anymore. So this raises the question how a person who has no ideas about sharks would act or react should a shark like this one approach. Most likely, the situation would go as far as the first approach of the shark, and then the person would likely push the shark off or worse, hit the shark. Although I can understand why a scared person would hit a shark, but the reaction of a shark like this would likely not be very pleasant. Granted, it may have the desired effect, but in my experience, a shark is so, let me call it, obtrusive, made a withdrawal for a small period of time, enough to get out, so enough to get out of water. But there's also the very chance that hitting the shark would lead to a situation where the animal would then defend herself and snap at the hand, and that is not what anybody wants to be after. Overall, a situation with such a shark is hard to control, but the good thing is that one hardly ever gets into such a situation with any shark, because people normally do not feed sharks when they're in the water. So could we say that food was the trigger? Absolutely. Food and sharks are okay if you do some research and in some circumstances, but adding people to the mix requires a keen eye to understand when a shark needs to be watched beyond the regular vigilance one should always have among them. Should you now feel a bit unsure, let me tell you that I had not had such a situation in years. And that tells you something considering that I am out there for 9 months out of the year. So I hope you learned a few things here. But again, don't worry, you hardly will ever get across something like this. But if you do, well, just try to do face guard push move if necessary if you can, and do a controlled withdrawing. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun. Enjoy the moment and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.